what I would like to teach them is the link between the two. So they learn certain things at home, which they can apply in business and vice versa.
Ze kunnen met jou leren voor later. En je bent heel leuk.
Eerst vragen en dan klagen. Eerst kijken en dan zeiken. 1, 2, 3.
This is the podcast with My Daddy Talks. And my name is Meindert van Winter. And I'm also a coach for entrepreneurial dads. The podcast is live from the always scenic little town of Luzern here in Switzerland. And it's a podcast about leadership at home with your family, your kids and your partner. And today my guest is Fons Trompenaars. Fons is a father of 3 daughters who all left the elderly home. And in 2017, he was inducted into the Thinkers 50 Hall of Fame, the world's most reliable source for the leading management ideas of our age. Fons is therefore the only Dutchman ever listed here. And he's in good company with people like Simon Sinek, Erin Meyer, Seth Godin and Michael Porter. Fons is also the author of the book Riding the Waves of Culture. And the list goes on and on. So I am pretty damn proud to sit here with Fons Trompenaars in my podcast here today. Welcome, Fons.
Thank you, Meindert. What a nice introduction.
Yes, so this was a pretty impressive introduction right now. And I've been preparing a little bit for today, of course. And ever since, everywhere I hear you talk on podcast or on the internet, you talk about servant leadership as the cross-cultural leadership style out there. And what is of interest for me and in this podcast is that you say that the best metaphor, the best comparison here is parenthood. And that's like my heart makes a little jump there because that's what I do and what I talk about. So I question, Fons, I'm a Dutch father living in Switzerland. I read books about tiger moms in China. I investigated a little bit about French parenting. All kind of different parenting styles out there. So please tell me a little bit more about that metaphor that you tend to use over and over again.
Yeah, you know, we were looking for a leadership model that was not culturally biased and that was not based on bipolar ideas. Let me explain. What we mean with cultural bias, that if you read an American author on leadership, you smell America. And it's easy because every 5 years they say the opposite, even the same author. You know, then it's vision and suddenly it's execution, then it's courage and suddenly it's caution. And I say, that's very American. If you go to the French literature on leadership, you have, did you go to the École Polytechnique? Are you male, born in Paris, so grand patron, etc.? So our models are very culturally biased, and they are based on bipolar ideas. And bipolar ideas, meaning to say, is are you either top down or are you bottom up? And that's where culture comes in. You know, the Dutch are more bottom up, like the Nordics in Europe, while if you go to China and France, it's more top down. You know, the point, and going back to your question, how can the metaphor of leadership be connected to parenthood? And the answer, like for leaders in a multicultural team, is that you all face the same dilemma. You know, the French might say top down, but they're facing with the problem of bottom up. And if not, you get a revolution or a strike, yeah, which is a mini revolution because it's all top down. But the dilemma is still there. While in the Netherlands, it's all bottom up,
and so, the challenge. So let me try to recapitulate and see if I understand it in my metaphor of parenting. So you say a French father would maybe think about me as my loose locker Dutch style fatherhood. That's not a good father, but we have exactly the same dilemmas that we face as a father with children. We only have different directions and different convictions how to do the best out there for our children. Is that basically what you say? So
yeah. In fact, we have the same dilemmas, but it's our culture that gives us a different starting point.
Can we maybe do you have an example of a dilemma, like a clear example of a dilemma, and see if we can bring that back at home with our kids?
Yes, and in fact, thinking a bit about this podcast, I was thinking, what are the 7 meta dilemmas of parents, which in another session I would call the 7 basic dilemmas of a leader. And they're exactly the same. So the first one is rule versus exception. Mm-hmm. You know, as a father or a mother, do you go for the rule or do you want to adjust the rule to the exceptional case your child is in? Okay. And in business, you say that the rule, in fact, is the best way to test an exception, and the exception tests and proves the rule.
In parenting, it's indeed, you always hear consistency. You have to be consistent as a parent.
If you're not consistent, you can't give an exception. Because if you're always exceptions driven, it's chaos.
Yeah.
And if you're rule driven, the children are gone at age 15 and say, thanks, mom, I know the rules. Bye-bye.
Exactly.
I know families where the rule is dominant and the exception is an exception.
So I live in Switzerland. So my example was like, I'm a Dutch father living in Switzerland, the land of rules. No, Corona is not happening here because we all live up to the rules.
Exactly. And you see it in a restaurant. You know, if you go in a Dutch restaurant with children, it's chaos. And the argument is, but it's, you know, a restaurant, it's exceptional. And let them play. But the point is, the dilemma is the same for every parent. Mm-hmm. The foreground in Switzerland is the rule and the background exception, while in a lot of countries, the exception is the foreground and the rule is the background, but the dilemma is the same. So that's one.
That's one, yeah.
The other one is individual versus collective. Are you more giving people autonomy individually, or do you say no? Are you a good family member? Now, by the way, my mother is French. My father is Dutch.
Yeah.
When I was 17, living in Amsterdam, all my friends went out of house. Be independent. That's the Dutch way to go. Mm-hmm. While I hear my mother say, you first marry, Fons, you first marry, then you go out of house, right? Now, I must say, I think my mother lacked 20 years of French development because she was in Amsterdam. So she still thought it was the rule in France. But my point is, the dilemma is the same. And are you individually autonomous as a child? So at age 15, they go out of house. You never see them again. You say, honey, I think we overdid autonomy. And if your son is 42 and say, dad, I'm so happy at home, perhaps you have overdone familyhood.
Everywhere
in the world try to do is, how can I make my child so independent that in their independence they choose to become a good family member?
If I relate it to my 4-year-old daughter, we in Holland especially, we send our kids a lot to the daycare, and we have this feeling, at least, to that helps them to get independent. But in order to be independent, and that's maybe more in the street of your mom, in the French kind of angle, you really need to feel the dependency in all your veins, no? You need to, and you also need to want to depend on your parent, basically.
Yeah.
Because only then you understand what independency is. And that goes for so many things in life.
Need to combine.
Yeah.
Now, the other dimension is what we call, what do we do with our emotions? Are we in control of our emotions, or do we let our emotions go? In our books, we call that neutral versus affective. Now, as a parent, do you let your emotions go, or are you in control of your emotions? Yeah, and it's the same dilemma where, you know, the reconciliation is you always need to check what your heart communicates. Because to be always in control, you're a robot. And if you're always affective, you're a neurotic or French.
So now, the basic idea is always the same. It's never either or the extremes is good. It's always somewhere in the middle through.
Man, it's the first time I want to improve on what you're saying. Because in the middle is a compromise. And it's the worst you can get. Is you show half of your emotion. And that's why that's the difference between either or, that's obvious, and the difference between and through. Mm-hmm. And is, you know, sometimes you do this and sometimes you do the other. But through is that, and I very often tell my wife, if you are not always emotional, your emotions make much more depth, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, the context of being rational and controlled gives emotions much more depth than those who always shout, right? Yeah. And vice versa. If you shout a lot and you show your emotions, the moment of silence makes an enormous impression, right? Yeah. So culture is always
that's where you say it goes, the one goes through the other, no? That's where you wanted to correct me here. That the one goes through the other, and is that so that the one goes through the other, so it strengthens both ends of the extreme because it goes through the other. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, and if you picture a dual axis, an X and a Y axis, then if it's a grid of 10 by 10, 5 5 is the compromise, is the middle. Mm-hmm. And there is a helix, a spiral going up to 10, 10 and even further.
Yeah.
And the spiral going up is the learning phase that your emotions get deeper and silence is deeper, et cetera, if we stick to that example.
Yeah.
Another one, and I'm happy that we do both, you know, the examples, but also the theory behind it, which is always the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my favorite dimension also for parents is what we call specific versus diffuse. And let me explain.
Yes.
It was developed by the psychologist Kurt Lewin, a famous psychologist if you're in psychology. And he, as a German, went to America as a Jewish guy in the 30s. Good idea. And he went to America and he described some of it in some of his articles, his culture shock in America. He says, Americans are amazing people. You hardly know them and they talk to you. While we in Germany take some distance in the beginning and then we go deeper. Now, the picture that I drew from it is that the Americans are like a peach. And a peach has a lot of accessible flesh with a tough nut in the center, difficult to access.
Yeah,
but the outside is easy, right?
Yeah.
And the Germans are more like a coconut. The coconut is difficult to enter, but once you're in, it's soft. And it gets softer and softer the deeper you're in, right? Now, it means that peaches have easy contact, but as we say, rather superficial, right? And I'm not saying because this is obviously a stereotype. And the relationship you have is specific according to a certain subject. And it shows in titles, your Dr. Trompenars in the university, but your fonts at the barbecue. That's typically American.
Yeah.
In Germany, your hair doctor everywhere. Your Frau is Frau doctor. your kids are little doctors. Everything is doctor.
Yeah.
But initially, the coconut doesn't have a relationship. They call you Z and not do.
Mm-hmm.
But
once
you're in, you share everything.
Yeah.
Now, the big problem is when the peach meets the coconut. And now I use this because it's a dilemma. Namely, the coconut, although it takes a bit of time, is taking everything into consideration once you're due. That's why your wife is Frau Doctor and you are Herr Doctor, and everything is doctor, while in America you're only doctor in university and Fons at the barbecue.
Exactly.
Now, that means that Germans, as an example, as a metaphor, are more holistic. That's why they are Gestalt, they are ganz zeitlich, they are Weltanschauung, the whole bloody thing. While the American is cut the crap, what is this about, right? Now, let's go back to parenthood. Every parent, do you go on the specific issue or do you want to see the big picture? And for me, the reconciliation is what is called moments of truth. The moment is specific. The truth is diffuse. In other words, a good parent picks the right moments to go deep.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And moments of truth is a wonderful concept that for leaders works, because as a leader, if you're always hammering on the same, it doesn't work, like a parent, you know, shut up, that I know. But there are moments where you have this little discussion or a good glass of wine with your parents, if you're a little older, where you say, oh, wow. And you as a parent feel, here I need to go deep.
Yeah.
But let's not go deep at every moment because children get crazy.
And Fons, so I love this example and the connection with the business leadership world now that you're in. Is it so that you tend, as a parent, to ask a lot of questions on your kids? And as, for example, they come home after school and you say, okay, how was school? And they say, yeah, right. And they go on with life. So what I try to do, because the thing that any parent wants in life is that the kids share everything that's within themselves. No, that's our biggest worry, basically, because we want them
to
tell us.
And sometimes you hope they don't.
And that's but then still you like it after all. Yeah.
Yes.
You know better than me, maybe.
No.
So what I do, I say when they come home and say, yes, I'm so lucky to have you home again. I love you. And I don't ask about their day. And then, but I have like an antenna. I try to imagine myself with an antenna that when that moment comes by, when they are willing to tell me everything what's them inside of them, that specific moment, I'm there for them and I'm all ears and I ask the questions that I want. But that's also, because that's such, it sounds so counterintuitive also that... It makes sense to ask, how was your day? No, that's what we do as parents, and ask our kids everything. Like, what did you do? Don't do that. We also, that's the same, basically. That's maybe even worse. Don't throw, don't bite your sister. Don't hit your brother. Don't do that. There's a similar.
No, I think your examples are perfect. And you really got the concept of reconciliation as well. In Deborah Tannen, a professor in America who writes about gender differences, first of all, she says men tend to be more specific and women more diffuse. Men, and she calls that rapport and rapport. And the beauty of the reconciliation is that within the context of deep rapport, you need to be sharp like a nail in rapport. In other words, in the context as a parent of unconditional love, you can be very severe and hard on your kids. If you're severe and hard on your kids without unconditional love, they immediately feel it and they're gone before you know. But kids know that unconsciously and perhaps subconsciously that it's done within the context of unconditional love, in deep rapport. And the risk of, but now I'm getting into gender and you know, diversity is that, or diversity in general, is that we need only to discriminate positively. And say, oh, no, we need more females, so let's treat them with care. No, you treat them with care in rapport, so you give them unconditional protection, within which you're tough like a nail.
Yeah.
And that combination.
And
for leaders and parents, it's exactly the same. Yeah.
Hey, Fons, so yeah, wonderful. We've already, I think we touched, we came to four of your items.
Or dimensions.
Dimensions, yeah. And would love to go into the other three on a later moment, but I have still some things to discuss with you, and I want to move on.
We'll do the other ones in the other sections.
Yeah, we'd love to do a second podcast for this conversation with you. So I think we already touched on so many examples, and there were so many overlapping between servant leadership and parenthood and parenting. It seems that the home where your wife and your kids are, is the perfect laboratory for any leader in the world. No, and it makes sense that those leaders then maybe do a course on parenting. You know, because that's where all those leadership styles are ingrained, basically, and it's what you say. The cross-cultural leadership style is what it's all about. Why is it so that I was the only one out of 15 people in a workshop about parenting on how to talk to kids? There were 14 moms and one dad, and was me. I loved it from the start to end. But in general, there's not a lot of men involved in parenting. And leadership, oh man, everybody wants to go to von Stomper and ours to have a course on leadership. Tell me, what's going foul? What's wrong here? Why is it so?
Yeah, I think if now I take the role of grandfather and grandparents, which I am, is that there is a moment that we have broken with the natural teaching by elder people toward their children. So my kids get kids and grandparents give advice. If I see my wife coaching her kids, it's amazing. And I think that relationship, because we all work and whatever the type of work is, even at home, there's hardly any time left for that natural teaching by grandparents and by parents. And so it would be a great idea indeed to have some courses on even, you know, I very often don't do more than half a day or a day, but if you touch upon the headlines, like we are discussing of what parenthood is about, you can learn so much. So it's an investment of nothing.
But I'm so intrigued, Fons. So everybody goes to France, I call what's it called, the INSEAD. So everybody goes to INSEAD and is doing a servant leadership course, and they think it's for in business to lead your team, but they forget that the things you learn from von Stompenaar, you can take home, and it's so useful at home. But at home, they take out their hat and they think, okay, I'm a father again, and it doesn't matter. And vice versa, no? And vice versa is maybe even more interesting, but okay.
The good news, Meindert, is that I think a lot of leaders take off their hat from INSEAD back to their work. And don't overestimate the enormous success that great leaders do. But what I would like to teach them is the link between the two.
Yeah.
So they learn certain things at home, which they can apply in business and vice versa. Now, obviously, you have to be careful with the metaphor in general. Don't take a metaphor too far, but pick the right thing.
What could be the pitfall? Can you tell me a pitfall in here?
No, I think you cannot fire children, but you can fire subordinates.
There rises a question in me, because that's something I hear over and over again. Should you start a relationship in business with the idea to fire someone. What would be the implication if you start a relationship in business and you cannot fire someone?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting, and you know, there are good leaders who would never fire anybody, but going back to servant leadership, even firing, which is a heavy word, but asking people to find another place elsewhere, could be done out of love. Because yes, there are people who just don't fit the environment in which they're working. With kids, you cannot do that. But I agree, in principle, if your idea, like you find in, you know, the hard capitalistic system, is that you hire people with the idea already that you might fire them,
exactly,
is a very wrong idea.
Yeah. So you start, you already start on the wrong path, basically.
Yes. And that's why family business, literally family business, yeah, is so much more successful than the large conglomerates. You know, it's amazing if you look at even the Netherlands and even the US, if you see the percentage of family business driving GDP, then it's amazing. You know, in Italy, it's the highest, I think, over 75%. But in the Netherlands, it's still close to 60%, you know. Yeah. And we have big multinationals.
Yeah.
And so the family business is doing so well exactly for that reason.
Exactly for that reason, yeah. So, okay, so that pitfall didn't really fall very hard, but
But I agree. I agree with your conclusion that if that is your first thought, like, oh, let's hire them because I can fire them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the wrong entrance. We're nearing the end of the podcast, and I wanted to discuss with you one final angle to this topic. So we came through several insights, and we see, okay, servant leadership is very close to parenthood. What could be the implication of this in the world? If leaders in the world are willing to really take it down at home and look themselves in the mirror and see, okay, I'm this boss in my company, but at home I'm basically the same boss for my family or the same leader for my family. I lead my kids into maturity just like I lead my team into a career, into success, into a successful whatever. There's no difference there. Let me learn from what could be the implication. Difficult word.
Yeah, it's perhaps implementation is also an interesting one, because I'll give you an example in a second. But the definition of servant leadership by Greenleaf is close to enabling others to perform better. And for a parent, that's natural. You're there for your kids.
Yeah.
And you're tough, but you do it for your kid, not for yourself. It's awful to be tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in great leadership, that's the case too. I mean, all the icons in religion, all the big heroes in politics, from Mandela to Gandhi, were servant leaders. They were never there for themselves, but to enable others to perform better. And performance can be much more than making money. Okay.
But in thinking about it, sorry, Fons, it's scary, you know, because it's exactly what it is. And if we take it a step further, when my son is 18 or 19 or 17, the moment that he's ready to fly out, he doesn't need me anymore. So that's the scary, scary part of a leader, that you become
obsolete,
not needed anymore.
Yeah.
Where's me in this equation?
Yeah. Now, if you are driven by giving people the chance to perform as well as you, there is you. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you're obsolete is a blessing in disguise, because you did everything to make your child not stay at home. yeah. To make them independent.
But what happens with my pension? So I need to pay the bills for the rest. Also after I make my team promoted into nice careers.
What you go to your parents. Yeah. No, but yeah. Let's not mix too many things because your pension and the future development of income, obviously in a family situation, was very often based and is still based for 75% of the world on the number of children you have, so they can take care of you. But I think as a parent, and I think also it should be as a leader, it's wonderful to give so much to young people so they can do their own world, which indirectly will come back to you. Mm-hmm. And if it's a family-owned company, then it could be done by shares or what have you. But for me, even, and let's take my own position. I'm now 68, and we run a business around licensing people. The best fun you can give me is not, oh, they sold some tools that we give to them. No, is that they are independent, doing their own stuff, and have the same fun in their work as I once had. Mm-hmm. And that gives me to an implementation. And I learned a lot from Bob Galvin. Bob Galvin was the CEO of Motorola when Motorola was at the top of their reign. And Bob Galvin introduced a system called individual dignity entitlement. And I'll make the link to parenthood in a second, because this was Motorola. Just before the success of Nokia, it was Motorola. And he said, there are five questions that you need to answer yes or no to. And the questions were, is the work you're doing for Motorola meaningful to you? Yes or no? And this was four times a year with your boss. Mm-hmm. If the answer was yes, you go to the second question. So if you're lucky, if you have little time, you're done in 5 minutes. Yes, 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 fine. Mm-hmm. But if there was a no, like the second question, do you have enough resources to do your task well at Motorola? And the answer is no. It was not the responsibility of the subordinate, but of the boss to make it a yes the next quarter. Mm, now, that's okay. How you implement servant leadership.
Yeah.
And implicitly, that's what parents do to themselves.
Yeah.
If your son or daughter has a bad grade or behaves badly at school, you feel it as your responsibility to make it better next time, rather than kicking your child. Yeah. Be more creative. No, how can I help you being more creative? Yeah. And that would be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Wow, that's a nice example. That's a nice example from business life into parenthood, which is so overlapping in what you say. So, yeah, nice. Thanks for that that insight. Super interesting. And I just noted down one thing is we talk about good leadership in the relation of a parent to a kid, but you can also maybe rethink it in good kids, because the kids should also they should also follow you. You should also be willing to follow the leader. No, there is also so, because leadership is also often only for the happy view in a company, which I think is not correct. But
sure, no, very true. And I think in servant leadership that almost comes automatically, and you see it with parents and kids. I was blessed by a wonderful wife. Because I was traveling a lot. I was out 3-4 days a week and talking about moments of truth. So at least at the real moments I needed to be there, I was there, I hope. And I'm saying this because children feel that they are having good parents, therefore they become good followers.
Yeah, and therefore also good leaders.
Yeah, yeah, because they know what it is to be nice to follow, and it's a bit a topic that is very often seen as something that is not appreciated in especially the Netherlands, where that's why we call power difference, we call power distance, which in many cultures is not the case. There is a big power difference, but we're very close, right? Mm-hmm. And that is something that following people is as much fun if you do it out of respect as being a leader.
Yeah.
And I think with servant, you know, let's take the extremes. If you're a dictator, following is very difficult because you don't have a choice. Yeah? Mm-hmm. If a leader never gives direction, so the opposite of dictatorship, like the Dutch government at the moment, and they keep on talking. And I'm saying this because that doesn't create good followers either.
No.
Because there, yeah, in both cases, there, yeah, is a lack of respect.
Yeah.
But good followership is trying to combine top down with bottom up.
Yeah. And in business, you often hear, I talked with Remco Klaas, and he was very clear on that. He said, well, in business, you have to choose. No, either you're a leader with the vision, or you're the manager and you follow
execute,
through what the,
yeah,
execute what the leader says. No,
yeah.
But to combine the two is kind of difficult. And then, yeah, I told him, yes, that's interesting, Remco, but in parenthood, that's not an option. It's just not an option. No. So and then he started thinking about it, like, that's an interesting angle. Yeah.
Yeah, at least you are responsible as a leader for the execution.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, I'm now almost in my company a family because we're only four people.
Yeah.
And I know this problem that if it's a small unit, you have to execute yourself, or at least guide those who execute for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be outside or inside the company. But the metaphors need to be not taken too far, but neither you should lose aspects like size and take it into consideration.
Yeah. Well, Fons, it's been so inspiring and interesting to talk with you here today. We are at the end of the podcast, so I'm really want to thank you a lot. And if you're willing to continue this conversation one day in the future, I'm so happy to go and dive even a little deeper in this topic. So for this moment, I want to thank you a lot.
Very, very pleasure to do it. And one perhaps final little note. In our research, females have a bit of a better talent to be servant leaders than men.
Rest my
case. That's perhaps also because females look at the bigger picture. And the beauty of the bigger picture, it includes the smaller picture. Men are more for the smaller picture, and they don't always include the bigger picture. And it's shown by the way the brain is structured with females.
Oh, okay.
The corpus callosum is a bit bigger, and you have to be careful with this metaphor again. But it's at least supporting my idea that we should be more protective of females joining us in the business, while being within that context very tough on them.
Yeah, and the overlap is parenting, because we're all parents, mother,
sure,
and father,
sure.
It feels like a camps, no, the man to the woman.
Yeah.
But if it's parents, you feel like, and that may bridge.
Harmony.
That may bridge for our little picture,
very
guys.
Much.
May bridge to go and look at the bigger picture and see that. So that's
very, very much, very much.
Nice final note.
A pleasure, Meinert, and good luck in getting it out.
Yeah, getting it out. Yeah, I might need your help somewhere in a little bit, but I will get back to you.
No problem.
Thank you, Fons, so much. So this was the podcast with Meinert van Winsen and My Daddy Talks. And do not forget to check my website at www.mydaddytalks.com. Did you like the podcast episode with Fons, or do you maybe even have a tip, advice, or comment? Please let me know on LinkedIn, or just send me a quick email to meinert@mydaddytalks.com. Thanks for tuning in and get on board. And as we like to say here in Switzerland, Grüezi miteinander! Get on board!